We will be in Matthew chapter 11 today. We've already looked at verses 1 through 6. But to keep the context in mind, and because it's been a few weeks since we've been in Matthew, I'm going to read verses 1 through 15, with our emphasis today being on verses 7 through 15. So Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding His 12 disciples, that He departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. May our Lord and God bless the reading and the hearing of His word today. Amen. John the Baptist had declared the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He announced the one coming to inaugurate this kingdom. He announced that he was greater than he. So mighty that John was not even worthy to carry his sandals. John baptized with water unto repentance. But the one coming after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And with fire. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 3:12, John said of Christ, His willowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He had declared that the axe is laid at the root of the trees. All the enemies of Christ would be taken care of. But there was an issue for John. He didn't see any of that happening. In fact, John was in prison. His expectations not being fulfilled. He was expecting Christ to come and to burn up the chaff without delay. And instead, John's disciples came to visit him in prison and they told him of the works of Christ. They surely told him how Jesus was healing the sick and casting out demons and even raising the dead. They surely told him about the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And all the while, John remains in prison, thinking, what about the axe laid at the root of the trees? What about the chaff being burned up? Why am I in prison? John did indeed prophesy the right things, for they were from God. But John got the timing wrong. The axe will go through the trees. Just not yet. Because of these unfulfilled expectations, doubt had snuck in. John's faith had waned. It faded. It became weak. Weak faith, like some of the other Bible heroes have had at one time, like Peter, like Thomas, like Abraham, like Gideon and Elijah, just to name a few, like us sometimes. But God did not abandon these men. No, He prayed for Peter, didn't He? He said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. He told Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Elijah, on the run, came to a place where he said, Lord, take my life. But God sent an angel to him and gave him food and water and comfort and hope. The point is, God cares for His people. Whether Peter, Elijah, or you, or me. He cared for John the Baptist in his time of doubt. He didn't leave him to wander in despair while he was in prison. Rather, He sent word back to John regarding his miracles fulfilling prophecy. He sent back to him Old Testament scripture quotes that aligned with the miracles he was performing, thereby confirming to John that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the coming one. Some of the multitude heard the interaction. They probably have heard this question of doubt coming to Jesus from John, concluding that John was not the man to stand strong, or worse yet, maybe even concluding that John's prophecies were not right, or question what John had said about Christ in the wilderness. But Christ exalts His friend and testifies of the work and ministry of John the Baptist. Interesting. Before, it was John who testified regarding Christ. And now John is in confinement and Christ is out in the public and He's testifying about John. He does that not only so that John's legacy would not be tarnished, but to point all the people to the one whom John pointed to.
Yes.
Jesus Himself. So in verses 7 through 15, we're going to look at two main ideas. One, 7 through 14, Christ's testimony of John. And then 2, in verse 15, our call to believe it. So we see in verse 7, as John's disciples departed, Jesus began to speak to the multitudes. Luke is more clear to the fact that John's disciples were not present for what Jesus was about to say. Luke 7:24 reports it this way. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. The people who remained were probably surprised to hear that John was asking this question. So Jesus addresses any ill thoughts towards John by asking some questions of his own. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? There are lots of people went out to the wilderness to see John. Matthew 3:5 says, Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. They went out to see him because they heard he was a prophet. They heard that there was this man clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Who wouldn't go out to see that? John had drawn large crowds out in the wilderness, but Jesus reminded the multitudes that what they went out to see was no unstable man. He was not a reed shaken by the wind. Not an inconsistent man. Not a man who fluctuated in his speech, depending on which way the wind blew. Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. In the parallel account, Luke 7:25, Luke writes, indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. John was not one who wore the proper clothing, or as the meaning is, one who was a yes man, or went along with the public opinion to advance his own cause. One who flattered kings, John was not. Rather, John rebuked the king. He was not a soft-clothed man. Rather, he wore the clothes of a prophet, like the prophet Elijah. He was not soft or shaken by the wind when he got to Herod and confronted him for having his brother's wife, even though that got John put in prison and beheaded. John did not shake in the wind. He did not blow one way one day and blow the other the next. He was not, if I might borrow from our last week's text, he was not double-tongued. He did not cozy up to Herod and then go tell all his friends how terrible Herod was. John did not cozy up to the Pharisees for his own gain. No, he called them a brood of vipers. And never backed down. Not shaken, he stood his ground. Our Lord reminded the multitudes of what John was like and how good his testimony was. Yes, he had a weak moment. He wavered in prison. He questioned what he said before. Doubts covered his head for a time. But that lapse of faith in prison did not take away the ministry of the messenger and herald of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Point of application for us. We must be careful not to judge a man by his momentary lapse of faith and trust. What do we tend to remember about Peter? He denied Christ. I would say let us not remember Peter for that momentary lapse of faith and trust. Rather, let's learn from Peter and be encouraged of how Christ cared for his child. Mm-hmm. And as we look at others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not remember them by their weakest point in life. Please don't remember me by my weakest point in life. Instead, remember how good Christ is to sustain us and bring us out of the muck and the mire. Back to our passage in verses 9 and 10, Jesus calls the multitudes to really ponder what they saw out there in the wilderness. He said, "But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" John was more than a prophet. Think about that statement. Think about all the great prophets from old. That is really something to say, that John surpassed them all. How is it that John was more than they were? Let me bring in verse 11a along with this. "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Up to that point in time that our Lord was speaking, of those born of women, there was no one greater. None greater, born of women by ordinary generation, or by that natural way men are conceived. That would exclude Jesus, born of a virgin. No one greater. Luke gets more specific about Jesus referring to prophets. He writes in Luke 7:28, "Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Think of all those prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Zechariah. He was not even Moses was greater than John the Baptist. How can this be? On what grounds? Matthew Henry says it well. "John excelled them all. They saw Christ's day at a distance, and their vision was yet for a great while to come. But John saw the day dawn. He saw the sun rise and told the people of the Messiah as one that stood among them. They spoke of Christ, but he pointed to him. They said, 'A virgin shall conceive.' He said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" End quote. More than a prophet. Yes, the older prophets indeed prophesied about the coming Savior. But it was not as clearly seen as how John introduced him. The old prophets had symbols and pictures. John ushered in the reality. John saw his face and pointed to it. The old prophets even prophesied of John. And John fulfilled their prophecy. Jesus shows that in verse 10 as he quotes Malachi 3:1. "Behold, I send my messenger." John is that messenger. The Old Testament prophets actually prophesied about John. John himself even said that they did. In the Gospel of John, the Jews asked John the Baptist, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And John replied in John 1:23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" He quotes Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. This is how John is more than a prophet. He was actually the forerunner to Christ. He announced him. They of old, they spoke of the Christ to come. John spoke of Christ who came and was there. John pointed to Christ with more clarity. Now he received much praise from our Lord Jesus as a man greater than all those before him. But Jesus was not praising John to give John some kind of pride. In fact, we believe his disciples had already departed, according to Luke. Jesus didn't say this about him to get back to John. He said all this for the benefit of the people listening. To stir up the people to understand it and believe it. And lest we think too much of John's privilege in redemptive history, Jesus says this in verse 11b, the second half of verse 11. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John preached before the cross. Men now preach and speak after the cross. Progressive revelation. In other words, advanced disclosure, more discovery. There is a process in Bible history where revelation builds on what was revealed before. As our confession puts it, this covenant is revealed, this new covenant is revealed in the gospel. First of all, to Adam in the promise of salvation by the seed of the woman. And afterwards, by farther steps, until the full discovery thereof was completed in the New Testament. The people now, under the administration of the new covenant, are greater than John the Baptist. Not a greater person, but greater in the knowledge of our Savior. Greater in privilege. Greater in the discovery of the works of Christ by special revelation. John the Baptist preached that Christ had come. We can preach not only that Christ had come, but that Christ has died and Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected. He ascended into heaven on high and is now glorified and is interceding for the saints at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what privilege God has given to His saints. We clearly see what they, the prophets, saw dimly or faintly. The old prophets longed to see these things. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 10. First Peter 1 and verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, Jesus tells His disciples, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Now, true, we do. We do not physically see Jesus or physically hear Him, but we see Him and we hear Him through His Word, amen, through Holy Scripture. Rejoice. By God's grace indeed, we know more about the works of Christ than Abraham, then Moses, then King David. And yes, even more than John the Baptist. You children in here, listen up. Your parents have brought you here to listen to these things that the prophets and angels longed to know about. Your parents read you the Scriptures that contain things that men from long ago desired to hear and see. But God has put you here in this place, in this time, in history, to have more revelation than they had. What will you do with this revelation? What will you do with these truths given to you? After all this good news of privilege and God's revelation to us, Jesus now recalls the days of John and how man does not like the truth. Let us say this, natural man hates the truth. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is not the easiest verse to interpret, and that's not God's problem, that's mine. But here's what I believe the verse to mean. John and Jesus had proclaimed the kingdom, and it suffered opposition, even violent opposition. We can look back at Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 through 23, and see the description of the violent persecution. Jesus told His disciples this would happen. They threw John the Baptist in prison, and he was beheaded. Yes, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Think about the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. They did not want the kingdom as Christ portrayed it. They wanted a kingdom of their own liking. They sought to seize the kingdom on their own terms. They took it by force. They said Christ had a demon. They said He was a glutton and a wine bibber. They said He breaks the Sabbath. And they even tried to kill Him. There are tares among the wheat, and the tares try and seize the kingdom by force. We see it today. Those who hate the real gospel message appear to like some kind of gospel message, but one of their own liking. And they proceed to violently take it and make it their own. Instead of submitting to the kingdom of heaven as revealed in the Scriptures, they use it for their own purposes, their own glory. Think of Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The violent take it by force. They heard the testimony of the law and the prophets. Matthew 11, 13. God revealed Himself through the law and the prophets. As good as testimony as that was, it was limited until the days of John. The days of John the Baptist brought realities never before seen. And the fierce opposition had a decision to make. Verse 14, and if you are willing to receive it, He is Elijah who is to come. In other words, John has come on the scene announcing things never before revealed. The Old Testament prophecies were limited. They were more fully understood in the days of John. Genesis to Malachi testifies of Christ, but John more fully. All of the former revelation of the law and the prophets concluded with John. You know, people were held more accountable for rejecting the declarations of John. Why? Because John gave more revelation. We saw that same idea in Matthew 10 and verses 14 and 15. For those who rejected the message of the apostles, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for them. Why? Because they were given more revelation. They had great privileges in knowing about Christ. He was even standing before them. We're about to get to something similar there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22. Jesus says to Chorazin and Bethsaida, "Woe to you! It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." Because there's more revelation, more accountability. For all the law and the prophets prophesied until John, all of it from Genesis until Malachi, they all prophesied of the Christ who was to come. But you must see, says Christ, that John is the culmination of all this. Not that we discard the law and the prophets, no way. But John's testimony of Christ is supreme. And most were not willing to accept it. They could not accept that John was Elijah who was to come. "I have come on the scene," says Christ, "and John is the one who announced it as fulfillment of prophecy." You see, Malachi chapter 4 says that Elijah must come first. Some of the last words of the Old Testament. Malachi 4:5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Elijah would be the herald to turn the hearts of men, but not literal Elijah. Amen. John himself even denied that he was literal, physical Elijah. In John 1:21, they asked him if he was Elijah, and he answered, "No, I am not." Yet in Luke chapter 1, you might remember that angel came to John's father, Zacharias, and said of John, Luke 1:17, "He will also go before him," that is Christ, "in the spirit and power of Elijah." Divine revelation. In the spirit and power of Elijah. You know, I've read before, and I'm not sure of the particulars, but I've read that the Jews set a cup for Elijah at the Passover feast, waiting for him to come to announce the coming of Messiah. Or that Jews regularly put out a chair for Elijah at circumcisions. R.C. Sproul, in his commentary, he writes that the Jews leave an empty chair at the table for the Passover feast in case Elijah should come. And I don't know how widespread this is, but Sproul writes, "To this day, when the Jewish people celebrate the Cedar Feast, they leave an empty chair for Elijah, because they are convinced he has not come yet. And since they believe Elijah has not come, they believe the Messiah has not come." But we have the Word of God in our hands. And the Word of God says that John the Baptist fulfills the prophecy of Elijah coming to announce the Messiah. John came and announced him. He has already come. Whether people want to believe it or not. Whether they want to receive it or not. John is the Elijah-like herald. He fulfills that prophecy and has rightly announced that Christ has come in the flesh to save His people.
Amen.
And we now come to the last part. Verse 15. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." To us, if we have ears, then hear this. If John filled the shoes of Elijah who was to come, and he did, then the kingdom has come. We are not looking for any more speech from God. We're not looking for any signs and wonders. We already have what we need.
Amen.
John the Baptist is the one who ushered him in. And we need to listen to him and praise God for John's message.
Amen.
He who has ears to hear, in other words, listen carefully. And understand this, Do not let these words go into one ear and out the other. John is telling them, he's telling us, listen to what my friend John the Baptist has said about me. Believe it and come to me. Many of the people had gone out in the wilderness out of curiosity. Here's this man dressed in camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he's condemning the Pharisees. What boldness and what wild things were going on. Men just had to go out to the wilderness and see it. Henry says, they went out to see him to feed their eyes with the unusual appearance of this person, than to feed their souls with his wholesome instructions. Rather for curiosity than for conscience. Many that attend on the Word come rather to see and be seen than to learn and be taught. To have something to talk of than to be made wise to salvation. End quote. What did you go out to see? He asked them. This is the one of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The law and the prophets all prophesied about Christ. But John was the herald. John was Elijah who was to come. John ushered in Christ. Now, natural man cannot spiritually see or hear this. Natural man cannot accept that John was the Elijah to come. Natural men cannot even hear and believe the truths of the gospel. Nevertheless, God commands all men everywhere to repent. So if you're sitting in here wondering what to do with all this, with all this information, you're commanded to repent. And believe the truth and follow Christ. You know, if there were people who put out a cup or a chair for Elijah in hopes that he comes, why do they do that? Because they're spiritually deaf. They cannot hear what Christ said. They cannot hear that Christ said in Matthew 17:12, but I say to you that Elijah has already come. But let us turn to those who can hear. I see the words of verse 15 calling on all of us, His people, to hear these things and to keep on believing them. He said, those who have ears to hear, that would describe believers. Let us hear, because we forget. We are sometimes like the ones who cannot hear. So in other words, listen and read about John the Baptist's ministry and who he pointed to. Read about the one who will baptize with the Spirit. Read about the one who will burn up the chaff. Read about and hear about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and believe what you read and hear in the Holy Scriptures. Praise God for this testimony that He has decided to give us, our privilege of being greater than John because of the special revelation given to us. That privilege is not a privilege to boast of or to think lower of people who came before us thousands of years ago. Rather, it is a privilege only given to us by the grace of God. We have been shown these things, and we believe these things because God has set His saving, effectual love on us. Not from anything at all foreseen in us. Not by us co-working with God to receive His grace. As believers in Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, He made us alive. He quickened us. He regenerated us. The power of the Holy Spirit drawing us to Jesus Christ. Yet do we come most freely, being made willing by His grace. Matthew 11:11, the second part. he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That should be a most humbling verse of Scripture. Giving all glory to God for revealing His mercy and saving work through Christ, for stooping down to us and showing us Christ. He who has ears to hear, let him hear of Christ and rejoice and be glad. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the testimony of John the Baptist. We thank you for not leaving us spiritually deaf, but giving us ears to hear about our Lord Jesus. How blessed we are that our sins are forgiven. What joyful news it is that you no longer consider us guilty. We pray, O God, that you would continue to change the hearts of men. We pray for all those across the world today who have heard the gospel message, that you would draw them by your amazing grace and cause them to believe what you have written. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.